here. What's good, everybody? Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, episode 39. It's a hip-hop and basketball-based podcast. I'm Jonathan Kerma, your entertainment editor of the Amherst Wire and a Hold My Drink Sports contributor. With me is our other host,
Trevor Wilson, assistant entertainment editor for the Amherst Wire, a.k.a. Michael T. Jordan, not to be confused with Michael B. Jordan.
No one has ever called you Michael T. Jordan.
Anyway, moving on, we got actually a little bit of bad news for you guys today, unfortunately.
Due to the fact that I left my headphones in my friend's car, there will be no slap or skip today.
But we still made the playlist. You know, we got you. So we'll just run through those tracks real quick for you. For slap or skip, we got Sandstorm by Mariba featuring JID. Pick that one because of JID. You know, we rep JID hard on the show.
Mariba's dope, though.
Mariba is?
Yeah.
And we got Mirage, Casey Veggies, Non by Childish Major, Rich and Whippin', Soulja Boy featuring Ray J.
Woo. Throwback.
Spy Kid, Chief Keef and Zaytoven, Clones by Tierra Whack, and Girls Need Love by Summer Walker featuring Drake, which dropped today at noon. So that's a slap or skip playlist. We'll put that in the description for you guys. You know what? We'll let you be the critics this week. You don't have to listen to us anymore. You can make your own decisions. But for the main part of the show today, Kerm, give us the rundown.
So today we'll be playing a game of Kill Mary with Offset, Lil Pump, and Gunna's latest albums. And then in the second half of the show, we'll be talking the Los Angeles Lakers for the last time.
This is therapy.
They're in the playoffs, we're done talking about the Lakers. This is the last time. But before we get into that, let's do a game of Kill Mary with these albums. So on Friday, Offset releases his debut single album, Father of Four. Lil Pump releases album, The Harvard Dropout, and Gunna releases album, Dripper Drown 2. So instead of, you know, trying to review all three in one podcast, we're going to play a game of Kill Mary. So if you're not familiar with the game, Kill Mary. I need to stop saying on this podcast, but I'm going to keep doing it. So Kill Mary is essentially where you have three choices and you have to choose which one you would kill, which one you would and which one you would marry. So with albums, obviously you're not going to an album. You're not going to kill an album. You're not going to marry an album. But
well,
the idea is
let's not get ahead of ourselves.
The idea is, if you don't like the album, Kill would represent never playing it again. F***ing would represent, you know, playing it only at parties. And marrying it represents you have to play it every day. You got to wake up with it. You got to go to sleep with
it.
Man. You got to play it throughout the day, you know, as you would, you know, contacting your significant other throughout the day. So let's do it, Trevor.
Let's do it.
To kick it off, which album are you killing? Which album are you murdering? Which one are you just putting the Glock straight to the album cover?
I am brutally murdering Dripper Drown 2 by Gunna. Brutally murdering it. Man, this was, I wish I could take 40 minutes of my life back. That's how I feel about this album. I know he's coming here on Saturday. He's probably not going to hear this, but if he does, Gunna, I know you're better than this. Also, please don't beat me up if you call me out at the concert. But, dude, there are, like, three, like, good tracks on this. I think the first half of Dripper Drown 2, first half is a stretch. First half-ish, I think, is tolerable.
Okay.
And I say that because he kind of sticks with this aquatic theme. All the beats sound, like, underwater. They sound pretty cool. But he's just so boring, man. He is so boring on this album. He just can't, like, it's bereft of any creativity, any inspiration. So, therefore, I'm putting Gunna in the grave. I'm drowning this album, if we're being honest.
So
we're drowning
it. It's Drip or Drown.
Yeah,
you chose
Drown. And I'm drowning this album. Don't come back.
So, yeah, Drip or Drown is also my kill. I don't think I hate it as much as Trevor does. My next question was going to be, were there any moments that, you know, made it at least worth a listen? So I think we're going to go there because, you know, Trevor is already, you know, taking the critiquing He got that started. I don't really need to add much to that. It's also my kill. But I think even with it being the kill album, there are good elements to it. As yeah. Trevor said, you know, every beat, it sounds like it's, you know, kind of underwater. So it has a theme with it. And, you know, I think you could argue it's kind of experimental. And, you know, I personally love the production on this album.
Yeah.
For that reason, you know, that's one of the strong points it has. Another thing, you got the song like Cash War. I thought that was pretty hard.
I did not like Cash War.
All right.
Well, I liked Outstanding, but I did not like Cash War.
Yeah, this one's my... I don't have a whole lot to talk about it, but, you know, with Gunna, he doesn't really say much.
Not at all.
Doesn't really say a whole lot beyond, you know, his drip, which, you know,
also,
makes sense.
Other than Speed It Up, which, like, that's, like, the worst hook I've ever heard on that song. There's not a lot of hooks on this album either. I thought, like, most of the time he was kind of just riffing or freestyling. So, I will say, though, the features on this are solid. Young Thug's feature is good. I liked Playboy's feature too. A little bit. The song with Lil Baby is pretty good, but other than that, man.
Did you like the Amherst reference on Baby Birkin?
I guess, bro. I guess I liked it.
All right, so we're gonna move on to our also,
yes.
As in, you know, your party album. Which album would you play at a party of these three?
I think I would play Harvard Dropout as my album.
Same.
You know, but, like, this isn't a good hookup. It's not. It's like the post-nut clarity or the post-listen clarity with this album is strong. There are good moments on here. There are moments that's exciting, just like any, well, not any, just like some hookups. But there's exciting moments.
Okay.
And then there's not so exciting moments. So, I think Lil Pump does a good job carrying energy throughout this project. I think there's a couple good tracks. I liked Off-White. I still like Multimillionaire, too, with Lil Uzi. He takes a couple old tracks, old singles from a while ago on this. But, one play, it's all right. I probably wouldn't go back to it ever again. I think he just gives you more of the same.
So, you would say this is your party pick, mostly just because you didn't like Gunna's album.
Yeah, this is like pity, honestly. This is like if I could kill two albums, I would kill them both.
Wow. Fair.
But that's just me, though.
This album, I would say it's my party album in the fact that, you know, every song is about partying and doing drugs.
Yeah.
As Trevor said, you know, the energy's going to be there. With Lil Pump, you know what you're getting. Every song is essentially the same format. His debut album, Lil Pump, pretty much the same, around the same length as this album, almost the same number of tracks, and each...
I think they all have 16, don't they?
Yeah, both albums have 16 tracks.
Yeah.
And both albums, you know, you have the same style of production where, you know, you got these trap beats that have these almost, I would say, I guess childlike melodies a lot of times.
Right.
Either childlike melodies or, like, sometimes there's
sound
like
toy
sirens.
Instruments,
yeah.
Or something like that, yeah.
Different stuff that's just kind of, like, super repetitive. And then, you know, Lil Pump himself is also very repetitive with, you know, every hook kind of comes down to repeating one line. You know, you got a song like Nuh-uh, and the hook is him just saying Nuh-uh over and over again. Or in the intro, the Harvard Dropout, you know, that song he's just kind of talking about dropping out of school and getting rich,
yeah.
Which there's still no evidence that Lil Pump went to Harvard or didn't go to Harvard. Like, for me at this point,
I think we're just gonna run with it.
Yeah. With it. I doubt he went to Harvard, but who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, that honestly, like, with the repetitiveness, I think at a party it works. If you're if you're drunk or fucked up at a party, you listen to these songs, it's very easy to follow. It's very easy to dance to, and it catches your ears. So for that reason, it's my
Liquor starts flowing too. Like, you may think this album is a little bit better than it is.
Yeah.
Just like the chick you're taking home.
The first time I listened, I was like, if you just ignore the lyrics, it's not that bad.
It's not. It sounds crazy. I do like a lot of
really
the instrumentals.
You really convince yourself
on this.
That it's like, you know, it sounds good. But then if you take a second to just listen to lyrics, you kind of notice after maybe three songs that Lil Pump doesn't have a whole lot to say.
You're like, okay.
And it just kind of keeps on cycling back.
Right.
So that's why it kind of has to stay with just, you know, the f***. We can't marry Lil Pump, Harvard Dropout. But now,
just like Soulja Boy said, I just wanted to see what it felt like.
But now we'll get to the final the final album. We both clearly had the same pick for our Marys. Offset's Father of Four. Why was this your pick, Trevor?
So I'm marrying this mostly because this was a solid project, I would say. I don't think it reached, like, any crazy highs, but, like, I certainly didn't expect Offset to be so personal. And I guess, like, we kind of should have expected that because his single was pretty personal, Red Room. But I really like how he kind of dives into his personal life. I mean, obviously, sometimes you get a couple tracks on here where they're just, like, bangers, where he's not really saying much. But I think for the most part, he sticks with this theme where he is, like, trying to be personal and open up about things. I really like the intro track. I thought the intro was awesome. He sounds really good on it. And, you know, he's talking about his kids. You got to love that. Father of Four. Other tracks I liked, I thought Lick was good. I actually liked the song with Gunna, believe it or not. I liked Wild Wild West. I think I liked that sonically more lyrically. But regardless, North Star with CeeLo is another good song. Don't Lose Me. And I actually really liked the song with Cardi B, too, Clout. So he's trying a lot of different things on this. I don't know if he pulls it off all the time necessarily, but it works. And you know, that emotional connection, that's something you want in a significant other. Someone you're going to marry.
Right, right.
So that's why I'm marrying this album.
This album is my pick for the marry, mostly in the fact that Offset, but unlike Gunna and Lil Pump, attempts something new in this album. He attempts to, you know, do more than he's done previously in albums with the Migos. While, you know, Lil Pump and Gunna, compared to, you know, Lil Pump's debut album and, you know, Drip or Drown, the original, you know, Gunna doesn't really, and Lil Pump, they don't really try and do anything new in terms of their messages. In terms of their sounds, they don't really try anything new.
Right.
Offsetting this, as you said, you know, he tries to get more personal in here. The intro track where he's talking about his kids, it's got a nice touch to it. I think there's also some parts in there where, you know, if I'm the kid listening, I don't know how that's going to feel in 15 years when you're listening to your dad say on a song that everyone's heard that, you know, I don't really know your mom. You know, I wasn't really there for you growing up. I guess there are positives in the fact that, you know, he's acknowledging that he wasn't a great father, but it's also the idea of, you know, the way you were conceived, hearing that for the record is kind of tough to swallow, but I still, you know, I like the sentiment behind it. Then you got songs like, How Did I Get Here featuring J. Cole, where, you know, it kind of talks about the brutal upbringing, you know, the tough times, and now, you know, in the fame. J. Cole low-key waxes Offset on that song, though.
I mean, he's been doing that with every feature he's on.
Yeah,
recently.
I mean, I think that's his, that's pretty much, that's been his goal right now, and he's been continuing with that.
Absolutely.
On this one, J. Cole, he kind of borrows Boss's flow on this, but still a solid track. You got the only other song that I think that I really liked, I really liked North Star with CeeLo. That had just a completely different aura to it that I didn't expect going into this, so I got to give credit to that. The song with 21 Savage and Travis Scott, Legacy, is also a certified banger. Clout with Cardi B, the beat is just ridiculous.
Crazy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, crazy.
Got a nice, you know, piano going. Overall, I think with all three of these albums, none of them are really great.
But this is the best one.
This is the best one. This is probably the best Migos
of the
solo
three?
Projects.
100%.
Yeah, between, you know, Quavo and Takeoff's albums. I think it's definitely better than both of those.
Yeah. I think it's like the most polished, like, overall. Because, like, Quavo, obviously, you had excellent production on that, but he's just so bad on it. And Takeoff, I felt, just kind of threw something out there. Like, it was 30 minutes. He just spit out a couple tracks, and that was it. This one, he just gives you more. So
overall, I'd say with these three albums in total, it wasn't the greatest week of hip-hop. There wasn't, besides, you know, Offset's attempt to, you know, do more than just, you know, rap about the trap he usually raps about, it kind of went right as you expected. I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary. So I think that's going to end our music segment, and we can just talk hoops.
Yeah. Do you guys mind if I chime in for a second real quick?
Yeah.
So I know you mentioned that Gunna is coming to play here, and that show's, like, headlined by Future. You guys know there's, like, no shot Future's coming, right?
Really?
11 hours before he plays here, he's in Copenhagen, and then 24 hours after that, he's in Stockholm, Sweden.
Definitely not coming here.
You shouldn't have told me that.
Now I'm not going to want to go, but bro, I would go for Ty Dolla. But
I literally am only going to this concert for future.
Oh.
Like, I don't know how he can fit in a trip to Amherst, Massachusetts. He's in the middle of a European tour. Germany, Denmark, Sweden, Belgium, France, UK. Like, when's he coming over here?
You think they're scamming us?
I don't know if it's a scam. He can still show up, but I would doubt that.
We're on to you, UMass. We're on to you.
So, yeah. For all of our UMass students, this is like kind of, well, it's not really breaking news because we still don't know if Future isn't going to show up, but Future is in the middle of a tour. So we'll see if he actually can make it. And
are you kidding me?
Maybe he just doesn't sleep.
He's like an 8-hour plane ride away from like.
Bro, he's going to get here jumping on a jet.
Yeah, he does jump in on. He jumps on and off the jets. He doesn't lie, so we'll see. But it's hoops time. Let's do the fast break, Trevor.
Let's do it. So, you know, the fast break, it's our quick little news rundown in NBA news. Said news twice in that sentence. Who cares? So we're coming off All-Star break, so nothing huge has happened yet. But Draymond Green suffered a left ankle sprain against the Rockets. He's going to be out till Monday. And then Karl Anthony Towns was in a car accident last Thursday when we dropped our last episode. But he went through the concussion protocol, and he's all good to go. James Harden, 30-point streak, historic, came to an end against the Hawks on Monday. 32 games? That's crazy. That's crazy. But not even close to Wilt's record.
Yeah.
I don't think that's untouchable, honestly.
At the end
honestly.
Of the day, he really, like, yeah. This record kind of means nothing because it's, well, it's one, it's not a record. Yeah. So, I guess it's a great run.
In, but like, in the modern era.
It's a great run, but in the history books, I think when it's all said and done, we probably aren't even going to really remember this, which is kind of wild.
And the reason, I mean, not the reason being, but Trae Young had 36 that game. So, you know, maybe he could have spared him some points, but that's not how basketball works. So, a little bit of heartwarming news. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar plans on auctioning his 4 championship rings, saying, when it comes to choosing between storing a championship ring or trophy in a room or providing kids with an opportunity to change their lives, the choice is pretty simple. Sell it all. Looking back on what I've done with my life, instead of gazing at the sparkle of jewels or gold plating, celebrating something I did a long time ago, I'd rather look into the delighted face of a child holding their first caterpillar and think about what I might be doing for their future. That's a history that has no price. It's pretty cool of Kareem to go and do that. Good humanitarian move on his part. And then the last bit, we got the winners and losers for you. So, the Eastern Conference, the Bucks are on a 5-game winning streak, and the Wizards have dropped 4. In the West, the Nuggets also on a 5-game winning streak, and the Mavericks continue their slide at 5 losses. Now, speaking of sliding teams, the main event. Welcome to Therapy Hour, everybody. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Wilson, and with me is our first patient, Jonathan Kerma.
So, as I said before, this is the last time we talk about the Lakers on this podcast. unless the Lakers are in the playoffs. There's no reason we should be talking about them. We're done with this homer talk. Me as a Lakers fan, I'm done. I'm done talking about them after today. But I got to get some things off my chest. So, to get started, I'll just give you a little background. Last week, the Lakers, after, you know, beating the Houston Rockets in an amazing comeback game, they went and squandered all that momentum by losing to the New Orleans Pelicans, followed by the Memphis Grizzlies. And these losses were just embarrassing, just flat-out embarrassing. The loss of the Pelicans, they were just getting whooped by Jrue Holiday, Julius Randle, and company. And I say in company because half the people on the court, I didn't even know who they were. But they were chopping us. They were chopping us. You would think they were all-stars. The defense has looked atrocious. The veterans have looked atrocious. Rondo is a corpse of a point guard at this point. There's no reason he should be playing. Mm-hmm. When Rondo and Lance Stephenson come on the court together, it's literally a guaranteed minus 10 at this point. It's just guaranteed. The plus-minus shows it. If you check the plus-minuses every game, they're just not good right now.
Right.
And then after the loss to the Pelicans, they got They lost a close game to the Grizzlies, but once again, if you watch this game, you see a lot of, you know, a lot of red flags in terms of defense. LeBron James is on defense, has resorted to just being a coach.
Just watching.
If you watch, if you literally, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy. You think it's just these clips going around, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, that's probably just one or two plays. No, LeBron literally just doesn't play defense.
Dude, he's
anymore.
Like hunched over like he's going to do something and doesn't.
He just, he walks around like close to the paint and he's just kind of trying to direct traffic while not doing anything. Like, he's in the position where he should be playing help defense and he just doesn't play help defense. Right. So it's like, what are you doing, LeBron?
Oh, my God.
Kyle Kuzma, you know, he's trying more than LeBron is on defense, but he's just, I guess, physically incapable of playing defense. Like, he can't guard guards, he can't guard bigs, he just really can't play defense. But with those losses, of course, you got to have some fire quotes from the team. LeBron James was quoted saying, you know, the last few years, everyone's so accustomed to the losses that I'm just not accustomed to. I'm not accustomed to it. I'd never get comfortable with losing. That was his quote after the Pelicans loss. Kyle Kuzma was quoted saying, how many know what's at stake if you've never been there? When you've never been there or know what it takes to actually shoot for something like that, sometimes you're afraid to get uncomfortable. You've got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. First of all, I don't know why Kyle Kuzma is talking like he's the 15-year veteran on this team. Like, a lot of guys in this team don't know what's at stake, including you. Including you.
Including myself.
Kyle Kuzma, LeBron, they've all been talking, but, you know, on the court, they haven't been, you know, showing that same energy that they've been talking about. I don't have any more to say, so the first question is...
As he clenches his fist.
Who deserves the most blame for the Lakers' season? Trevor, you can go first.
So as a spectator, man, I really don't know, because I don't want to put it on LeBron. I don't want to. But I feel like it's just a group effort. I feel like you can't pin this on any one person. Everybody wants to blame LeBron, but this is a team that also couldn't beat, I think, the Cavs and the Knicks without LeBron.
They lost to the Cavs with LeBron, too. So
yeah, so...
LeBron didn't make a difference in that, in that aspect.
And, I mean, I think you're seeing some chemistry issues, maybe not even to the likes of the Celtics, but it's just like you have this one, like, super just... powerful figure on your team like LeBron James. So obviously the media is going to follow him wherever he goes, and when his team's not doing bad or not doing well, like, that's going to stick with him, and that's going to stick with the rest of the team.
One thing I actually did forget to mention, another thing that came out this week, in light of the fact that it's been announced that LeBron is the A&R for 2 Chainz's album.
Oh my God, yeah. That was so funny.
Rapper Go to the League. Of course.
Which comes out Friday.
Yeah, which comes out Friday. There was a clip that came out of LeBron A&Ring. And in the clip, it showed the date at which he was A&Ring.
I totally forgot about that.
It showed the day at which he was A&Ring. And of course, it was the day before the game against the Warriors that LeBron sat out against for load management.
Load management.
Which is just literally the worst look ever. So, load management, but you're able to, you know, stay up late at night with 2 Chainz and, you know, give your opinions.
Drinking wine. Like, you know, LeBron was dumb hungover from all that wine.
Like, I wouldn't even care if he was, you know, A&Ring and he played the next day, but he didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he also had the audacity, another quote that I didn't have here, was he was talking recently about, you know, distractions off the court. And he's just...
Oh, my God, yeah.
LeBron is kind of, right now, in terms of distractions off the court, I mean, he just announced he's supposed to be in Space Jam. He has his own TV show.
Yeah.
He's an A&R now. I didn't know LeBron was an A&R for music, but he is now. So that's pretty frustrating.
Maybe his head's just not... It's not in the right place. He doesn't have his priorities straight.
Yeah, so let me kind of tie this back to, you know, who deserves the blame.
Are you giving it to LeBron?
It's not just LeBron. It's everybody has a blame, has something that can be pointed to on the team, as well as from the top all the way to the bottom. So I guess I'll start at the bottom and then work my way up. Obviously, as I said before, the veterans have not played like vets.
Yeah.
You know, Rondo's turning over, Lance is turning over like crazy. The starters, I think the people that don't deserve really any blame right now is a guy like Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram's really playing the best stretch of basketball of his career right now in these past, you know, 10 games. He had, against the Grizzlies, he looked unguardable. He started 9 for 12, and I don't think I really saw him miss after that either. He had 30-something, and he's just been balling. So I guess you can't really blame him, but as I said before, the defense is atrocious because of Kyle Kuzma, because of LeBron. Yeah. Like, you can talk about LeBron being the best basketball player in the world, but on the defensive end, he's just not there. And then off the court, he isn't being a leader. He's not on and off the court, he's not being a leader. Because off the court, he's talking about all these things that need to change, but on the court, you're not showing
how to change.
Yeah, you're not showing playoff mode. If you're talking about playoff mode and going all in, shouldn't you play both ends of the floor? Shouldn't you?
Yeah. What night was it that they lost and he posted on Instagram?
When they lost the Grizzlies, he posted on Instagram, which this is a great accomplishment that probably should have been on the fast break. He is now top 10 in scoring and assists all time. The first player to ever do it. Amazing, right?
That is amazing.
But, you know, you probably shouldn't post on Instagram after taking a tough L and airballing a three in the last minute of the game. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. So, obviously, LeBron has to get a chunk of this blame. But I will say, LeBron was leading us before he got injured. It's not his fault that we all of a sudden went on this skid once he was out. That's where you can kind of point to management. You can point to Magic, and you can point to Rob Pelinka. And you go back to the offseason where you made the very active decision to not grab shooters in free agency and instead grab these veteran playmakers and just guys that literally the biggest notable thing about them is that they can't shoot. Rondo has been known as a guy that can't shoot.
But he's hitting threes this year.
He has been hitting threes, I guess, like more than expected, but he hasn't done anything else that he's good at.
Yeah.
So Rondo wasn't really a great signing. Lance Stephenson, while I love Lance for just the entertainment of it all, he's been cancerous to our team for a lot. Right. There's been a lot of stretches where his energy just hasn't helped us. Then, you know, you signed JaVale McGee, who has been okay.
Yeah.
Mike Beasley, not part of the team anymore.
He's going to China again.
So you didn't. Yeah. When you make mistakes like this in the offseason, you can't expect to kind of fix it in the regular season. So they just didn't really have the roster. Then you obviously got an injury bug, so that you can't get mad at that. But overall, everybody gets a little blame. Luke Walton, when you're losing games against teams that you should beat, that's the coach's fault. That's the coach's 100%. Fault. So Luke has got to get the blame. Everybody deserves the blame. But I want to get to this, my hot take of the week, and then we can end this podcast. The Lakers should tank.
They should tank.
Yes.
For the rest of the season?
Yes. So
I'm actually, that's not a crazy idea.
Okay.
That's not a crazy idea.
I'm glad that you don't hate it. No. But for those that are listening that might think it's kind of wild to say that, I'll kind of just explain my thought process. This week, I was just thinking about the 2013 season, the last time Kobe was, you know, Kobe and just dominant, the Mamba. And that around that time, we were in a similar situation with what the Lakers are in now, where we were looking outside of the playoffs and we were trying to do whatever we were supposed to be in all-in playoff mode to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And in that last 10 games of the season, Kobe gave his all to the point where he was averaging like 37, 9, and 7. Those are rough estimates. That's around what he was averaging in the last 10 games of his season. And it, you know, it was great to watch, and it was it was fun basketball, just the fact that, you know, Kobe was going all in every game to make the playoffs. And then what do you know? With two games left, Kobe Bryant tears his Achilles. And then we do make the playoffs. We get bounced in the first round, and Kobe's never the same again, and our franchise is just irrelevant for 6 years.
Yeah.
We're kind of in that spot right now where we could try and make the playoffs, meaning we'll overload LeBron's minutes and we'll play him 42 minutes a night. And we can hope that's enough to make the playoffs. We're three games outside of the playoffs right now, so that's
not impossible,
but it's not guaranteed.
No.
So we could play LeBron all those minutes and we can go hard and we can give our all. But at the end of the day, what do we really accomplish if we make the playoffs? A loss to Golden State in the first round.
And you kept LeBron's playoff streak.
Yep, that's really the only thing that's active is LeBron. The only thing that's at stake is LeBron's playoff streak.
Yep.
So if you either you can go as far as to just sit LeBron for the rest of the season, which I wouldn't mind because I just don't.
Yeah.
At this point, we're the best case scenario is we make the playoffs. The worst case scenario is LeBron tears his ACL and we're like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah.
Why
I mean, some people have come out and said they still don't think he's totally healthy.
He doesn't. He doesn't really look that healthy.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
So yeah,
I don't mean to chime in, but
yeah,
that
go
being
for it.
Said, like, there's no way LeBron's going to sit out the rest
yeah.
of the season.
Yeah,
I think to send him out completely, that's me as a fan going to the furthest extreme possible. But I think there's still ways to do it where you're like, okay, LeBron's going to play 34 minutes a night, maybe even less, maybe even 30 minutes a night,
yeah.
and you don't play him on back-to-back. It's kind of like what they do with Kawhi Leonard, what they're doing with Anthony Davis right now. It's just like you have no positives from LeBron playing all these games. We're probably not gonna make the playoffs, or we're not gonna get past the second round. So why are we doing this?
Yeah.
What's the point of this? All we're really doing is just causing anxiety for Lakers fans like me,
right.
where I'm just watching every game. Every time LeBron goes to the floor, I'm just like, there it is. That's the one. That's gonna be the injury.
Yeah.
It's gonna just change it all. He's 34 years old, same age Kobe was when he tore his Achilles and was never the same.
And then yeah, I mean, every great player sees a slide around this time, whether it's like you're 34, 35,
yeah.
even up
like
to 38.
Kobe at 34, there was no signs of sliding until he had that injury. And I think LeBron is the same thing. Michael Jordan was 38 when he won his last ring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and he carried the Bulls
yeah.
in that finals. So I don't think they're going to just LeBron is too talented to just decline without some injury that just takes him away from basketball for a long time and, you know, takes away some of the athleticism.
Right.
So I just don't understand what's the point of risking it at this point. We already knew this was kind of a lost year anyways with the fact that we don't have another superstar to pair with LeBron.
Yeah.
So why are we going all in at this point? We don't have Lonzo. Without Lonzo,
yeah.
until whenever he comes back, we're not going to be good defensively. And even when he comes, he's not going to cover up everything.
Mm-hmm.
So sit out LeBron, and we're done talking about the Lakers. Let's get Zion.
So, yeah.
Let's lose some basketball games, guys. We have our pick this year. Let's just lose some basketball games.
And, yeah, you still got the offseason to look forward to.
And hope the GM, or not the GM, hope,
right.
hope the NBA blesses us and, you know, rigs the lottery and we get Zion.
I think you guys just need Lonzo back. Once you get Lonzo back, all of your problems will melt away.
There's literally only like 20 games left. There's no point at this point.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but this has been Lakers Therapy.
Next week we'll be better, guys. Thanks for listening.
Episode 40, so we have to be better.
Yeah, that's an anniversary. That's a big anniversary. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, 808_abreaks. JKerman98 on Twitter and Instagram as well.
And I'm Trevor Wilson, OG on both. Make sure you check out the Amherst Wire.
AmherstWire.com,
yes.
baby. HoldMyDrinkSports.com, baby. Check out the sites. We got plenty of great content on both. Peace.